Father God, as our pastor comes, Father, we are hooked up with what you are doing in this assembly, Father, what you are doing through our Pastor Jim and Sister Lou, Father. We are set in this body for your will, plan, and purpose, Father. We thank you that you have a word in season for us, Father. We listen wholeheartedly, Father, and we intercede for the assembly and for our man of God, Father. We are not spectators, Father, but we are joined in and hooked up with what you're doing by your Holy Spirit, Father. And we appreciate the gift that you've given us, Father. We treasure and adore our man and women of God, Father. So thank you for the precious gift, Lord. Thank you.
For the price? Thank you, sir. Grab your Bible. If you didn't bring the whole sword, your dagger will do today. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Pastor, couldn't you just put it on the overhead? It will be, but I want you to mark something in your Bible because it's very important. Now then, as the message today is coming to a conclusion someplace before 3 o'clock, I'm going to ask the ministers to be available. Not available, they will come as the message is concluding. And if there's something that you need agreement on, something that you would like to receive from our God, or there is an area of your covenant with God that's being challenged physically, spiritually, financially, I want you to come based upon the promise of God's word that covers that. A lot of people come wanting prayer, and they get prayer, and they walk away with a warm feeling, but nothing changes. One more time. I said a lot of people want prayer. They desire prayer. They come for prayer, and they walk away with their prayer unanswered, but they have a warm feeling because they got prayed for. That's not God's will. God said, Psalms 107, verse 20, he sent his word and healed him. He didn't say he gave us prayer for healing. In fact, the New Testament does not even say pray for the sick. It says heal them. Praying for the sick is a religious tradition that is anti-God. Why would you pray for something that God has already done? God, I want you to heal me. God says, can't you read my word? I sent my word and healed you. My word said with his stripes you were healed. Do you believe my word or not? If you don't believe my word, why are you praying? But I believe if you've got a promise, it says he sent his word and healed them, but it didn't stop there. Verse 20 goes on to say, and delivered them from all their destructions. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? Well, that car wreck that had your name on it but never materialized. That bill that's unpaid and could be a destruction to your credit if it's not taken care of. Anything that would harm you in any way, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, there's a verse of Scripture that God has already sent and he has delivered you with that verse. But you have, it's like the doctor says, if you'll take two of these every day for a week, you'll be rid of that. And you walk around with the bottle in your pocket and never take them and go, Doc, I carried this bottle all week and I'm no better. And the doctor goes, that's because you're stupid. I gave you that to take, not to carry around, not to tell everybody you got it. Not to look at it and go, boy, if I take these, I could be healed. God sent his word so you could find the promise. It covers the need that you have, and it'll heal mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, and it will deliver you from an impending destruction. I've seen people who were caught running a meth lab and call out for the mercy of God, and they lost all of the evidence between the police storage locker and the courtroom. They showed up in court and said, we can't find the evidence. They were delivered from their destruction. Yeah. Of course, if God delivers you from that destruction, quit cooking meth. God didn't call you to meth around. But God will uncrank your life. Some of you are up there, some of you are still struggling with, ain't this church? You darn didn't. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 is a verse of Scripture that every believer should have highlighted, underlined. Maybe you should take the time to get out your good pen and a 3x5 card and write it down and glue it to the refrigerator. Or at least stick it up there with those dumb magnets. If you don't have any, see my wife. She's got 9,000 extras. With important messages like, money is not everything, but it keeps the kids around. Daddy God has that on his refrigerator. But this verse of Scripture is so powerful, if you'll let it impregnate your mind and your spirit, you will give birth to miracles you've never thought before possible. But just as it is written, Pastor, is that important? Yes. When God emphasizes that this is written in both covenants, old and new, then it must be important. Because he's saying, it is written, get this, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man. Pastor Jim, what does that mean? Things you ain't seen, things you ain't heard, things you ain't even thought about yet. Well, Pastor, why does it need to be phrased that way? When I was a kid, I thought a cap gun was something. Nowadays, kids have got, they've got an iPad, they've got a note, they've got an iMac, they've got a laptop, they've got things that I could not even imagine. A kid turns 9 years old and they think they're underprivileged if they don't have a telephone already. I mean, I used to have to stand in line and wait to use the phone, not just because I was waiting on my family to get off of it, but Myrtle Fay down the block wasn't off yet. We were on a party line, and I kept picking it up. Is she off yet? Woman talks forever. Then you'd want to be discreet, but you go, ahem! I hope she's still talking. Some of you don't even know what a party line is, but a party line was absolutely no party at all, because your whole neighborhood was on one line, and if you had a blabbermouth down the block, you didn't get to make a phone call. You would have to call the operator and say, operator, this is an emergency. Would you break in? But now you got your phone at your side, and you're ready every moment of every day to take that important call that nobody really cares about but you. What it's saying is, things that haven't been invented yet, things that haven't been made yet. I'm not limited to what was available when this was, because, hon, I don't want a donkey that nobody's ever rode. I want some V8 power under the hood, and I want air conditioning and power steering, satellite radio. I want all the comforts of home on the road. But when this was written, those things hadn't entered the heart of man yet, but God said, when inventions catch up, I've already got it covered. So things you don't even know about today are covered right here, because it hadn't even entered anybody's heart that I'd like to have that yet. But God said, I've already got it planned and covered. All those kinds of things God has prepared for them who love Him. Now I want you to emphasize the word prepared. God has already answered your prayer. He said in His word, before you ask, I will answer. He knows what you have need of even before you ask. And He gave us a verse of Scripture that let us know things that haven't even been invented yet, I've already laid in store for you. Because all wisdom comes from God. Man has not come up with anything yet that God would, Shazam, Jesus, did you know they could do that? Wish we'd have thunk of it. No, it's covered. And it's prepared. One translation says, laid in store. He's prepared it. He's laid it in store. He's waiting for you to find the promise that covers it so you can fill out your withdrawal slip and get what already belongs to you. Wealth belongs to me. Health belongs to me. Life belongs to me. But you can't be moved by the temporary. Temporarily, I'm dragging around a pump and an IV line into my arm that's supplying Melrinone to make my heart squeeze harder while my new heart is en route. But you see, I'm not moved by this. Actually, I'm laden by it. You drag around this 10-pound pump 24 hours a day and it gets old. But it doesn't matter. I'm not moved by it because it's temporary. Why? I already have a new heart laid in store. It's prepared for me, and I don't know the how, the exact moment of it, but I know it's a done deal. I have a new heart. Well, Pastor, it hadn't manifested yet. Yeah, but He's already brought me through flatlining 3 times. He's brought me through things that you can't even explain to people where they can understand it. And I've taken a licking, and I'm still ticking. I'm changing my name to Timex. Why? I've got a promise. I'll live and not die. Now, I clung to that promise, and Friday I'll continue to cling to it, that I will live and not die. But, Pastor, you have to die sometime. I did 2,000 years ago. I will never die. I may change addresses, but I'll never die. But I want you to get a hold of this. Things that you haven't even yet thought about, God has already got waiting for you. I have a divine appointment with things I don't even know about. Good things, blessed things, powerful things, life-enhancing things. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. I have been in prayer, Brother Roger, at times, and all of a sudden, I saw myself with something I'd never thought about having. I've been in prayer, and all of a sudden, I had an affinity for something that before that time in prayer, I'd never thought that I could be there. But through your Spirit, the more time you spend in the Word and praying in the Spirit, the more He will show you that's available to you. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. It's not that the Spirit can search me and find out what I've longed for and hungered for, but the Bible says, Scott, the Spirit will search what's in God's mind, what's in God's heart, that's so far beyond anything you could comprehend. And then He comes and goes, psst. And all of a sudden you go, you know, I think. Verse 12, I want you to get this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world system, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Sometimes I'll be reading a passage of Scripture, and among the promises of your new covenant, which are over 250, there are 749 promises in the new covenant. But many of them are repeats. So there are actually 250 promises in your New Testament that are made. About 9 of them you don't want to know about. Eternal destruction, torment in hell. Those are promises, but they're not for me. So I read the promises that are to me. And sometimes the Spirit goes, that's yours. And all of a sudden I'm not reading words on a page. I'm reading destiny that belongs to me. I'm reading a divine appointment I didn't know I had, with success, with health, with joy, with peace, with power, with ability. Make 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, something that you meditate and think about. Because just when the devil's telling you you can't go there, you go, wait a minute. I've got a promise. I can go there. I can have that. I can do that. If it's in the new covenant, it belongs to you. Dropped it and didn't break a single promise. Many church attendees spend their whole life not knowing what belongs to them. Because just like the fool who carries the tablet or the bottle of pills around and never takes them, they pack their Bible, but they never find out what's packed into their Bible. Those are promises God made that you can activate. An inheritance must be believed, laid claim to, and received as a personal possession for it to be active in your life. You've got to find it. You've got to believe it. You've got to go, that's my God promising that to me. What a shame to live one's life and never enjoy what actually belongs to them by divine decree. Did you know every promise, when I read Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, and he tells me that with his stripes I was made whole. That's a divine bequeathment to me, a divine decree. It can't be changed. It can't be annulled. It can't be set aside, but it can be disbelieved. Believe and receive, doubt and do thou. Sister Tina used to lead you in that confession. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. When I find a promise, I mark it. I have every promise in the New Testament written down. Not the little book that says 26 promises from God in your new covenant. No, I got them all written down. Now, I've marked through a few of them, like eternal damnation, torment in hell. Those don't belong to me. John 10:10. When I discovered this verse years ago, my life began to change. I started reading it in different translations. My purpose in coming is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Why did Jesus come? To give me a rich and satisfying life. He didn't come to make life hard for me. He didn't come to give me a bunch of rules I can't keep. He didn't come to tell me that you came just this close to making it. His purpose in coming to the earth was to give me a rich and satisfying life. Another translation, I've come that they might have an abundant and satisfying life. That's the New Living Translation. I want an abundant and satisfying life. And I'm doing my best to enjoy it. The Amplified Translation. The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. If something is being stolen from you, it's not God testing you. I get so angry when I hear people go, well, God is testing me. Oh, you're too stupid to know what a test is. God tempts, tests, and tries no man. And in case you didn't understand it, he put his word, let no man say when he's tempted, tested, and tried, that he was tempted, tested, and tried by God, because God tempts, tests, and tries no man. Well, what about Job? What about Job? God didn't tempt him, didn't test him, didn't try him. God proved him. God said to the devil, you tempt him, you test him, you try him, and he won't cave in. Because God had more trust in Job than Job had in God. The devil said, you got a wall around him. That let me know I've got a wall around me. Because I have a better covenant with better promises. And if Job had a wall of protection around him, I've got a wall of protection around me. And the only way the devil can get through that wall is for God, which he won't, or me to leave the door open. Through disobedience, through doubt, unbelief, fear. In case you don't know it, the devil has little demons called gatekeepers. They're spirits of fear, of doubt, of worry, of torment. And if you let them in, they will open the door for the rest of the devil's crew to come and attack you. That's why God said, fear not. Because if you let fear in, you open the door. I've got a wall of protection around you. Don't fear. Don't doubt. Don't worry. Don't be negative. Because those are little gatekeeper demons that you fall prey to in your mind that open you up to attacks from darkness. How did God let this happen? God didn't. You left the door open. If there's flies in the house, you should have closed the door. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. God is not the God of barely enough. God does not inspire songs like, just give me a little cabin in the corner of glory land. No. He wants me to have an overflowing, abundant life. When a person dies and leaves a will, their heirs benefit from its provision. When a person who has died to provide for you is risen from the dead to act as your lawyer or advocate to administer the will, you got it made in the shade. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. What does the word advocate mean? We have a lawyer. Not only did he leave me a bundle, but then he was raised from the dead to administer the will for my best benefit. Well, I received him as my personal Savior. He forgived me of all my sins. Why stop there? He died for your sins. He was raised to make a place for you at the right hand of the Father. People debate over when Christ said, I go to make a place for you. And they go, he went to build me a mansion. Are you crazy? He's not a developer. He's not a contractor. He's not going, let's open another subdivision over here and we'll plat that land and we're going to build Ken a place right here on the corner. No. It's much higher than that. He said, I go to make a place for you. The place he made for us is at the right hand of God where we are seated together with him. Because he went to the cross and went to the throne, presented his blood and said, now all those who believe in what I did are going to sit here with me at your right hand in a position of authority, ruling and reigning in life. If you're thinking he went to build you a mansion over the hilltop in that sweet land where I'll never grow old. Dear Lord, I think back to when I was a little kid and they used to pay me a dollar to sing that song at church. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. And then I found the truth. I don't have a mansion. I've got a kingdom. The kingdom looks different from the throne of God than it does from a mansion down the block. Church, you're seated together with him in heavenly places. That's the place he went to make for you. Not some dad-burned house. Why I need a house if I don't sleep? The sun never rises. The sun never sets. One eternal light. God, we are eternally in his presence. I don't need sleep anymore because I don't get tired. In heaven, everybody's a Timex. My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have a lawyer, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the Yeshua HaMashiach, the anointed Redeemer, the righteous one who is handling all of your case. There's a verse of Scripture that says he'll plead your case and defend your cause. This one tells you he's your attorney. The judge is his daddy. Now, when you can go to court, doesn't matter what the charge is, if your lawyer is the judge's son, you're going to walk. Say the fix is in. You are doubly blessed. He left you an inheritance and then was raised from the dead to administer, to make sure you get what belongs to you if you'll put a demand on it. My brother died earlier, and when he died, there was a life insurance policy. I could walk around and show everybody, look, life insurance policy. And here's his will. It says he left it all to me. But did you know I had to go to the bank and withdraw? I had to file a claim with the insurance company. Are you listening? Yes. I had a will that said it belonged to me. But I had to do something to get it. Get off your lazy Christian butts and start making demand on what belongs to you. Because it's not sufficient. I could carry the will around for the rest of my life and never have any cash from that. But because I went to the bank, because I filed with the insurance company, I put demand on what the will said belonged to me. The will is just my authority. The laying hold of is my provision. Get this. The blessings of the Lord are not automatic. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might obtain what you don't deserve because it's in the will. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given to us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Wow. Did you notice it says you? You got to do something. But to receive the fuller impact, we back up to verse 2 to begin. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You have to read the will to find out what belongs to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to the believer as you study. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. What does that mean? When sickness knocks at the door, I'm not ashamed that I don't know what to do. I know what to do. I've read it in the Word. When lack knocks at the door, I don't have to be ashamed. I know what to do because I have the promise that tells me what I can withdraw from my heavenly bank account. The day Ethel was born again, God opened her an account in heaven. And He put everything in that account that she would ever need. Every headache is already answered. Every bill is already answered. But you have to make a withdrawal. I put money in the bank. But just because I have money in the bank doesn't mean my bills are paid. I have to withdraw from the bank and apply that to the bill. When sickness attacks my body, I have to withdraw from my heavenly bank account that says, with His stripes I was healed, and apply it to my blood-bought body. It's that way with every promise. I withdraw it from my heavenly account, I apply it, and I receive its benefits. And as you meditate His Word, Joshua 1:8 says, meditate the Word day and night, and you, oh God, make me prosperous. No, He said, you, when you are laying hold of it and meditating, you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success because you applied the Word. Not because you have the Word, not because God's on the throne, but because you meditated it until it became your new nature. Or the more you know His Word, the more you can show His Word in operation. In the knowledge of Jehovah, Lord of hosts, and the anointed Redeemer, our Lord and King. The more I know of His Word, the more I can show His Word works. Verse 3, you come to understand that His divine power, it is written, has granted to us by inheritance to be laid hold of everything that pertains to life or living in the abundant life and to imitating God. Ephesians 5:1. Imitate God as dear children. Act like you're in charge. Rule over the attacks of darkness. Through the true knowledge, rightly interpreting the Word with the Word, of Him who called us by virtue of His own glory and excellence. The word excellence is also translated virtue. Jesus said when the woman touched Him, I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Anointing. You have been called by His glory, that's manifest presence, and by His anointing, that which flows out of Him. Just as the woman touched Him physically under the old covenant, Nancy now touches Him spiritually under the new covenant, and that glory flows out of Him. Virtue. For by these manifest presence and anointing, that's glory, He, the Redeemer, has granted, bequeathed, willed to us believers His precious to be treasured and magnificent, meaning perfect promises that are in the will, in order that by activating them, the promises, you, the believer, might become partakers of the divine nature, ruling and reigning over life's challenges, having escaped being corrupted by the desires of an earthly nature. You see, when I start desiring things on a carnal nature, I start thinking of ways to get them. had someone tell me this week, well, I don't want to steal it, and I need somebody to give it to me. So the only way in your mind you can figure to get something is somebody gives it to you or you steal it. No. This week I had to get very stern with a young man who just got out of prison for the 117th time. And I told him, do not call me at 7 o'clock in the morning wanting me to come get you. In fact, don't call me before 9 o'clock. And don't think that I'll drop everything and come running just because you want it. If you want something, tell me a day or two ahead of time so I can schedule it. But when you call me up and say, I need you to meet me right now, I've got a luncheon appointment. I can't meet you. But I'm out here and it's hot and I'm alone and I'm broke. That's not my fault. So then he calls me back and says, I'm here at the Children's Day yesterday while they're celebrating. He calls up and says, I'm over here at Amaya's Talk House and I need you to come get me right now. And I said, I told you, don't call asking me to drop everything and run. I'm at church. It's a day set aside for the children. And you should have told me before you went over there that you were going to need something. He goes, well, I don't have a brand new truck to ride around in and a credit card to take care of things. And I said, and I don't have a prison record from being stupid. What I have, I worked for. Nobody gave it to me. I have the product of what I've been doing. You have the product of what you've been doing. Don't bother calling me back. Well, Pastor, that's cold. No. For 30 years, I've supported him. Sent money to his prison account every time he got locked up. I've bought him wardrobes. I've gotten him jobs. I've given him equipment. When he started his business, I bought the equipment and gave it to him so he could start his business 3 or 4 times. And now he's complaining because I didn't do it this time. And I said, you show me something and I'll do something. But I'm tired of investing in failure. God, I want. God, I need. You can fill in the blanks. I'm not going to have to go there. Some new covenant promises, such as Matthew 8:17, Peter 2:24, were also prophesied in the Old Testament. But a promise must be found. How do I find a promise from God? I study to show myself approved to God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I have to find it in the Word. Well, I heard Brother Demetrius say, that ain't good enough. You see, hearsay is not admissible in court. God said is. Must be received. How do I receive it? Matthew tells you, when you stand praying, believe that the things you ask for are yours and they will come to you. I have to receive it right now. Do you receive the promise of God? Father, I thank you. Your word said, with his stripes I was healed. I believe that promise. I receive that promise. That promise is mine. What's the next step? I take ownership of that promise. I'm no longer the sick trying to get well. I'm the healed, serving eviction to this lie that's trespassing on my new covenant blood-bought body. I quit talking to God about the mountain, and I start talking to the mountain. One more time. I stop talking to God about the mountain, and I start talking to the mountain. You lying spirit of fear, get off of me. You foul spirit of infirmity, leave my body. You have no place or right nor authority here. Now get. If you came home and a homeless person had discovered your living room, would you say, well, I guess I'll just have to live with it? Or would you say, get, this is my house? Then why do you come home to find lack, fear, doubt, worry, sickness, trespassing on your blood-bought covenant property, and you don't serve an eviction notice? Instead, you go, God, what are you going to do about that guy in my living room? He's going to give you the strength to kick him out. Amen. Then I've got to celebrate. Because if I really believe it, I really receive it, and I take ownership of it, it now belongs to me. I want to celebrate. You know how you are. You get something new, you just can't wait to let somebody know, I got something new. The praise team sings Celebrate. It's an important message to learn. Because until I celebrate it, I haven't really activated ownership. I knew an individual that had a beat up old piece of transportation. A distant relative went out and bought him a new car, brought it over and parked it in his yard. They came back a little bit later to see how it was doing, and chickens were roosting in the car. It was too nice for them to drive. How many things do you think that relative bought them again? Are there things that God has given you that you haven't taken ownership of and celebrated? Then how can you expect him to do something for you when you haven't activated what he's already done? Once I celebrate it, I start camping out waiting for it. Napoleon said something to me about something that's coming on. I saw a toy I wanted. And so I talked to the guy in Arkansas, and I said, I want it, and I'll pay that for it. And he said, okay, I'll deliver it on the 7th. Well, I think Napoleon is as excited as I am to see it. He's going to go, Pastor, could I hold the keys for a minute? But you see, I took the man at his word. I believed it. I've already started making place for it. I've got pictures of it. If I can put faith in a man that way, that we can agree over a phone call that something is done, how much more if my God said, I will bless you above all nations. I will prosper you. I'll crown you with health. How much more should I mean, if I can bank on meeting, the guy's name is Jim. If I can bank on meeting Jim on Tuesday, and that he's going to give me a title, and I'll give him a check, and that it's mine, just because we talked and I'm taking him at his word, that he's not going to sell it to somebody else and I'll be left hanging, not fully expected to transpire just as we agreed on the phone. Come, let us agree together, saith the Lord. Bring his word to him and say, God, you said. Well, Pastor, I don't know if that'll work. Well, I don't know if you're saved. Because how can you be trusting your eternal life to to someone you won't trust your health to? How can you trust your eternal destiny to someone you won't trust to get the bills paid? There are exceeding great and precious promises in your new covenant that by activating those promises, and I gave you the lines here, how do I activate the promise? I believe it. I receive it. I take ownership of it. With his stripes, I was healed. Not, I'm believing God's going to heal me. God's not going to heal anybody. Either he already has or it ain't going to happen. I celebrate it. And then I anxiously await its arrival. Because he said, if I would believe I received when I got in his presence, then it would come to me. I believe, Jim, when we agreed to a price and terms on the phone. Now I'm awaiting its arrival. So it is with my daddy, who is more faithful than some dude in Arkansas. I don't even know if he's got shoes. It's a hick joke. Get over it. Believe, receive, abound, and prosper. Yes. Now, I told you ministers would be available. And they're coming as we're dismissing. If there's any promise you need to lay hold of and agree with somebody on, there'll be ministers here to stand in agreement with you. If you need to have someone declare God's blessing upon you, they're here. But come in faith believing. Don't come to get a warm feeling that somebody prayed for me. Come expecting to have what you put before God. Father God, we've delivered your word this day, and your people have received it with gladness. Our minds are being enlarged. Our hearts are being filled. We're growing in expectancy that you are faithful to do exactly what you said you have done and will do. And we celebrate your honesty, your integrity, your truth and dependability. Father, I pastor the wealthiest group of people and the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. The people of House of the Lord abound and prosper in every area of their mind and spirit and body. No weapon formed against them will prosper. I curse and cast down every tongue rising in judgment, every curse, every incantation, every soulless prayer, every evil word spoken against any part of House of the Lord or their families. I break it, I curse it, I cast it down and decree it's of no effect. Whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. The people of House of the Lord walk in continual and ever-present help and blessings. They are blessed of God to be a blessing from God. And the people said, amen. You're loved, you're blessed. If you want to stand in agreement, receive prayer, ministers are waiting on you.